when it comes to creating a brand which is also present in offline world to adapt it online world, whether it is from creative standpoint, whether it is from content standpoint. So a 360 degree unification of that brand is a huge challenge, because traditional FMCG company is tuned to think, let's say, TV first or print first, versus now they have to also create a YouTube ad and stuff like that.
Welcome friends to the Growth Genius. My name is Kaushal Thakkar. I'm the founder of InfiDigit and your host for the show. The topic for today is creating digital growth for FMCG brands. The growth genius we are meeting today is Juhi Singh, who is digital evangelist and transformation strategist at Marico. Hi Juhi, welcome to the Growth Genius. How are you?
Hi Kaushal, thank you so much for having me here. I'm doing great. Hope you're also doing well in this pandemic situation. Everybody's locked in.
Perfectly. I was just going through the newspapers yesterday and was happy to see the rate of decline in cases in India specifically. So that's a good
some hope
lining on this dark cloud.
Yeah.
And how are things going with you?
So things are going well. I think some amount of adjustment, of course, has happened in terms of the work schedule, moving to house and all of that. But I think now it's way better because, you know, company has also supported employees in the manner that they should have. And even as an individual, I think we all have adjusted.
Nice. That's good. Juhi, we would like to know more about your role at Marico.
I joined Marico last year in Jan, and I'm part of digital transformation team as part of MDCEO's office. When I joined, I was, I think, the first hire in the team. Now we have a larger team. The way we work is that this team works across geography, across Marico with all the functions in order to drive digital transformation, which has three key pillars. One is digital sales, one is digital influence, and the last one is digital enablement. So digital sales is, you know, the percentage of overall sale, and then how can we drive growth for all the Marico brands through online platforms? So it could be by strategic partnership, by spotting new opportunities in terms of trends or platforms, etc. Or let's say creating new channels like direct to consumer. Second part, which is digital influence, is essentially reaching out to more audience with the same amount of money more effectively by various, let's say, creative best practices or content creation, or more effective ad via, let's say, better CTRs so that more clicks are delivered with similar money, etc. And the third part is enablement, which is the current talent which is there, to upgrade them with various training programs or programs which help them adopt to newer digital technologies or measurement process or the newer skill set that they need to learn. So that actually summarizes the role, and it's across geography as a center of excellence.
Fine. And this spans across sales, marketing, and even customer experience is a part of it, right? When we say enablement.
Yes. And sometimes it could also mean, let's say, working with the supply chain team for the analytics bit, and R&D team for new trend spotting and stuff like that. So it's across functions that way.
Great. This role should be really close to the CEO, considering the number of functions which you're working on.
Yeah. So in a way, yes. However, most of the work is heavy towards front-end teams, given the number of brands that Marico has. So we work very closely with the marketing team and the sales team. But yes, it is closer to CEO's office and work plans.
Nice. That's really good. Actually, coming on to the core topic of today, creating digital growth for FMCG brands, the first thing which I would like to understand here is, what are the digital challenges at an FMCG organization?
Extremely interesting question, given that you know that, you know, I've worked in a lot of digital companies prior to that, and this was my first company which has an offline product. And the challenges, again, pan out through all the areas that I spoke about, which form the core function. When it is about the digital sales, it's about a lot of questions like, what's my real universe potential for various products, given that we have some very niche product and some very large brands. We had an anti-gray tonic, which is True Roots. So how to spot a consumer who's suffering from first signs of graying on a digital platform without wasting, let's say, market. Second would be, let's say, how to reach out to that consumer and convince them that my product works, versus, let's say, if sales assistant was there in an offline world. Then there is always a channel conflict. It's not that it's only with the digital, but let's say even in modern trade and general trade, there is a channel conflict. But it happens more so because e-commerce in India is discount-driven channel. So I have to also cater to my general trade sales team and in the same time help my partners which are on e-commerce also, you know, support their larger sales, let's say a Great Indian Sale or Big Billion Day, etc. So that's on sales. Second, which is on influence, the biggest challenge is data scarcity, because when I run a digital ad, if it's online, then the funnel closes immediately and you have almost live data, which would be the case with at least the biggies, which is Amazon, Flipkart, etc. But a lot of e-commerce partners are also still evolving and the data comes with a lag. Now, when it comes to modern trade and general trade, because my ads would also influence somebody and they would end up going to offline store and they would buy, there the data actually is almost scarce. And, you know, we have to depend on RMS to come back with the store data and market share data. So the measurement of whether the influence was impactful or not, that's really a challenge. And last part is then it comes to creating a brand which is also present in offline world to adapt it to online world, whether it is from creative standpoint, whether it is from content standpoint. So a 360 degree unification of that brand is a huge challenge, because traditional FMCG company is tuned to think, let's say, TV first or print first, versus now they have to also create a YouTube ad and stuff like that. And the last one would be then hiring the right talent in digital and, you know, grooming them for the future and also retaining them. So those will be, I think, four buckets of challenges that we face a lot.
Okay. Specifically, I would love to discuss each of the challenges in detail, but considering that there are several challenges, any particular challenge that you think where you could share the solution to that particular challenge, that, okay, how did you resolve this particular challenge for Marico?
I think the most interesting one was, like I said, about the data. And what we have done is that, and it has been a humongous work that has happened, we call the capability Marico Minor League, which is the data analytics team that we have set up. So what we did is that since there are so many channels of advertising which is happening in digital, we ran a multi-touch attribution model, which essentially allocates an elasticity to each of the channel in order to drive growth. So looking at, let's say, historical data, when we had run a digital ad or, let's say, on platform, any kind of communication, promotion, pricing change, etc. And then how do sales move in during that period to derive which of the channel is giving me the maximum ROI to lowest ROI. So whenever I have to move my sale up, it's a media optimizer which is available to the brand manager, wherein they plug in the number and then, you know, they decide that this should be the ideal mix of my plan.
Okay. And that's how you bring in more data to the decision making stage.
Yes.
That's good. And while we got to know about multiple challenges at FMCG company, wanted to understand more about, since worked at Myntra earlier, how would you compare these challenges to that of an e-commerce company?
It's two worlds apart, I would say, because one had the growth challenge that they had to grow very fast, versus we have a scale challenge that we have to also think about the masses and stuff like that. Secondly, in Myntra, there were always profitability challenges. However, that is not the case with Marico. We are having brands like Parachute Safola, which are like fairly profitable. So for smaller brands, we could invest some money, etc. Then there is this challenge of scale fast, scale first in both the companies. But the way they deal with that challenge is very different. And risk appetite, I would say, in e-commerce is way more higher versus in a traditional FMCG company, we would think a lot before taking that risk more holistically.
Thanks. That helps. The other question I have for you, Juhi, over there is, while we understood that, okay, you're working and measuring ROI and some other attributes, any other metrics which you're looking at to measure the success of digital campaign in FMCG environment?
Yeah, again, it would depend upon three contexts. One is when we talk about e-commerce, we very closely monitor 5-6 things. So one is, let's say, content. So is my content as per the best practice right or not? Second is availability. So how many percentage of my SKUs are stocked out or stocked in? So we maintain a benchmark for both of them. Then there are marketing ROI. So if I ran an ad, what is my ACoS as well as reach number and final conversion number? Then pricing. So because each of the brand competes with, let's say, eyeball competition, so I need to maintain certain percentage of discount that they are giving. And then share of search, which is organically how many times am I appearing in my category as well as keyword list on platform. And last one would be sale, of course. Then comes when it is purely RNF kind of a campaign. So we look at CPM-led buying for optimizing reach and frequency. And for videos on YouTube, we look at VTR 100% and 50% completion rate. And for smaller brands, we look at cost per acquisition and ACoS in terms of measurement. Last one, very key piece in FMCG is actually influencer. So that we measure through ROI of the influencer, that is how much we paid them and how much engagement they gave us.
Okay. And measurement in case of a metric like influencer ROI, wouldn't that be really difficult because influencer would be promoting you on multiple platforms like, let's say, YouTube or Instagram? How would you clearly attribute it to the returns which it generates?
So we have actually got two tools. One is called Korus, which actually lets you onboard an influencer and it allows the real metrics that is actually delivered by the influencer. And we can also negotiate certain kind of rates via the platform for the influencer. Second is in the cases where the influencer is not available on Korus platform, we also have a social listening tool called Sprinklr, which essentially crawls all the public data. So for our influencer as well as competition influencer, what is the kind of engagement we are getting? What is the kind of net sentiment that we are getting? So those things we capture.
We are looking at this particular digital channels, and since you spoke a little about ROI, we would like to understand more in terms of which would be the best channels that are generating good ROIs.
So this actually is very different for various set of brands. Let's say for a smaller brands, on platform by default for an e-commerce growth is the first one which is there. So let's say Amazon search would be the best, followed by Facebook static or GDN that you ran, versus when you are doing a large reach and frequency campaign and your delivery is towards awareness, YouTube works very well and they're in long format engagement kind of videos work very well. So that's the difference between the two.
Okay. And when we look at this particular thing, and when you say that, okay, this would be different for different kind of products which you speak of.
Yeah.
Any particular product which would be doing much better in terms of, let's say, organic search vis-a-vis, let's say, your GDN ads?
Yeah. So again, by category as well as by product, it's very different. So when we launched hygiene, as against when you would do a performance marketing for a brand, which is Marico Stratic, we would normally always do a static kind of a video. But since there was something to explain as a concept, videos seem to do better even on performance. Versus, let's say, when we talk about a larger brand like Livon. So Livon has a very high branded equity. So search works much better there. So again, it depends on brand stage, category that we're talking about, and what status we have in that category.
Okay. So brand search volume is something also which determines the success on the channels. Perfect. Any particular digital growth story of Marico specifically which you could share with the audience?
Yeah, there's one very interesting story of Kaya Youth, and it was launched last year in April. So like the way, you know, a typical FMCG company would plan for a large brand, we also initially planned for, let's say, a reach and frequency kind of a target. But that actually did not move the needle much on the sales, etc. So JFM is when I started working with the brand team, and there were some key fixes which required, and there's a framework called CAMS, which I was earlier referring to this one. So what we did is we looked at everything from fresh eye, right from content, and we realized that, you know, we are focusing too much on a brand story, which is, let's say, oxygen-led, etc., which maybe the consumer is not realizing. So let's make it functional. What does consumer look for? So consumer looks for, let's say, glow. So we made it get a glowing skin in 7 days, which was the claim of the brand, and it was hard-hitting functional, and how does the brand let you achieve that? So that was on the content revamp. Then secondly, on marketing, instead of focusing on top of the funnel, because the brand was so small, we said that we'll focus on bottom of the funnel, which is actual conversion. Now, if a consumer is buying, by default, he is getting aware, and that is the best form of loyalty that one could get. Then we also experimented a lot in terms of, let's say, sometimes running a BTL on discounts on platform versus platform marketing of various forms and off platform. So whichever worked best is what we optimized. And this actually helped us to double up the sale for e-commerce. On Nykaa, we had spent a lot earlier, but with almost zero spends, we got 3x of sales. And we also covered what we had spent earlier on Nykaa. We brought down the advertising cost of sale by about 100 percentage point. And even the Instagram followers doubled in just 3 months. Our CTRs were much better than the benchmark. So Amazon benchmark is about 1.5%. Earlier, we were getting 1 to 1.3%. So here we got almost like 2.5 to 4.35% on various ad sets that we ran. And finally, even the CTRs off platform also moved up to 2% odd versus the benchmark that we have was of 0.5 to 1%.
Wow, that's tremendous growth. And what would be the overall period where you started working on it to the time where this kind of numbers were seen?
So this number, I'm just comparing, let's say, OND versus JFM. And we continued and scaled up performance marketing for lot many brands after this success story. And this brand actually has become, I think, 2.5x size of what I'm even telling you about JFM.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really good. Really interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Julie, the other question which comes to my mind is, while you are working on multiple campaigns, I also wanted to understand, would these campaigns be different for different demographics? Example, a campaign for millennials or Gen Z?
Yeah, so a lot of our youth brands actually focus on Gen Z or the millennial. So instead of just cutting them by age, we have a cohorts framework that we have developed. So we answer what, why, when, how of each of the cohorts that one brand could target. So what we do is that there is a core TG, which is, say, the bullseye TG, which every brand will have. And then there can be 6 to 7 cohorts that it can appeal to, but it's not really a core TG. So for example, for Livon, we have young moms who have a challenge that, you know, they are so busy that they can't wash their hair so properly or go to salon, etc. So Livon actually fits in saying that you get a salon finish here at home. Then there are a lot of people who use hair appliances or hair color. So they have a heat damage or color damage here. So Livon fits in a different way there. Then there are a lot of pop lovers. So we saw that K-pop has been a rage in India, especially in Northeast Delhi, etc. So there are a lot of people who are searching for hairstyles which a K-pop celebrity is having, etc. Mm-hmm. So we also associated with K-pop artists, and then Livon brings you a sallow finish hair just like your K-pop celebrity. So we contextualize it by various smaller cohorts. We do a lot of A/B testing and change the creative with that context so that the right message is delivered to the consumer, and it's delivered at the time when they are going out or planning a date and things like that. So it fits in the context.
Nice. Really targeted campaigns specific to really specific cohorts. Really nice way to go ahead with the marketing and business growth.
Yeah.
Nice. And while we speak of this many different cohorts will need multiple different kinds of content to be created.
Yeah.
What role does content play in this entire activity?
So I think humongous role. And it is extremely underrated in most of the FMCG companies, and which is why we also set up an in-house studio now. Because as you understand that each of the brand will have a campaign going on, and it will have to be contextualized to, let's say, 7 to 8 cohorts. And the cost of creating the creative is also going to be that much higher. So we said that we'll have an in-house team, which A, brings agility, and B, also brings in the digital-first practices so that the brands can customize their creatives faster and in a better manner. So we also developed a content framework in-house, which looks at, let's say, Google search, YouTube search, Amazon search, and social search. Then we convert it into meaningful buckets. So let's say for a hair, they could be like people are searching for certain problems like hair fall, dandruff, etc. Or they are looking for benefits like hair growth, hair shine, etc. Then what is the brand that each of the benefit or problem people are seeking? So our brand is better than that particular brand in that particular space. Then there could be certain ingredients. So there was this whole array of onion and all of that. So how is a coconut oil better than onion? And then what is the type of format that people seek? So most of the time, if it's oil, then it's fine. But if it's a DIY mask, so we create content around that, etc. And then all of it will have to be contextualized to, let's say, a geo or life stage or gender. And then we estimate how much of written and visual content is required to have a right to win in that particular bucket. So that's the framework that we follow.
Nice. That's good. Moving on to the next question, Juhi. Initially, you mentioned that, okay, there are multiple centers of excellence which you have created. Would those digital sales influence, digital influence enablement be center of excellence? Can we term them as center of excellence?
Yeah. So actually, what we have done is that there are multiple center of excellence which work as part of digital transformation team. So we have a in-house studio, like I mentioned. Then there is a social listening and trend spotting team that we have set up. Then we have an analytics team that we have set up, what we call
Marico Minor League.
Yeah. And then we have also a partnership with the L&D team to create, let's say, digital learning quotient. So all these are center of excellence, and the KPIs that we chase would be, let's say, NROAS, which is net sale divided by all net spend, which is on digital context, then digital quotient of the brand, cost saving on the creative and efficiency of the creative, and for the direct consumer brands, how do we move up the needle? So that would be the KPI.
Okay. And one additional question on the center of excellence. So when you segregate this particular thing, definitely it would have helped you, because this individual center of excellence would be more focused on individual tasks. Other than that, any specific highlights of the center of excellence which you think you would like to share with the audience?
So I think the good part is that this team works with all the brands, right? So sometimes it would happen is, let's say we had a learning on hygiene in India. We applied it in Bangladesh because we also have a hygiene portfolio in Bangladesh. Then similarly, there are some creative best practices which we adopted from, let's say, Just for Baby in Bangladesh. So it could be applied bio oil or something like that in India. So there are a lot of cross learning, and there are also a lot of cultural contexts which arise. So cross learning is applied a lot. So that has helped a lot, I would say.
Nice. That's good. Thank you, Juhi. That was quite a lot of information around the FMCG world. Now we move to the next section where we would like to know more about you, the growth genius. First thing which I would like to speak of, or at least congratulate on, is the Economic Times Woman Leader Award for 2020.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It's really a great achievement. Tell us more about it. How did you get selected into this particular league?
I read a lot and I subscribe to most of the newsletters and stuff like that. So I saw that there is ET Prime Women Leader Award, which is opening up. So I applied for it, and it's a quite a robust process because, of course, they look at your past credential, they look at your company, there are a lot of recommendation letters, etc., that they ask. And then there is a panel jury which sits, which was, I think, having great names like Junjunwala and whatnot. And then there was Accenture team, Accord team, and all of that, who do a background check, who do a panel discussion on all the entries which were there. It was like, of course, like a lot of great names in nominations. I don't know, like I didn't even know that there are chances of winning. But yeah, I got that. So it was a great happiness that it brought. Yeah.
Nice. That's really good. And since you already mentioned that you are an avid reader, any specific book that you would like to share with our audience that, hey, this is a good book each one of you read?
Yeah. So I think one of the eye-opening books, I would say, was Everybody Lies. And the content framework also, which I was telling you, is in a way inspired from that, because it tells you that, you know, when you go and ask consumer anything, they may or may not, first of all, know. And even if they know, they may not speak about it, versus what they reveal on digital world is actually humongous. So search data, social conversation, when taken into the right context, would actually change the whole game. And that is precisely what we applied in, let's say, new trend spotting or content framework.
Nice. And any specific person or particular website that you follow?
I actually follow the Big Fours for sure in terms of company, because they have really changed the way you would, any consumer would behave. And this time is actually the right time when all of them are growing in that manner. But person-wise, there have been a lot of Indian high-riser like Manu Jain, Ghazal Alag, and of course Gunjan, who was our ex-boss. So I follow them very closely and try to observe the way, the strategies that they apply. So yeah, those are some of the people and things that I follow.
Nice. That's really good. Juhi, the other thing which I would like to check with you is, since your days at IMRB and where you're working as an associate insights manager, it's just been around 10 years. And now when I'm looking at your role at Merico, you're really working across the verticals. It's almost a kind of CXO kind of responsibility which you're managing.
That is an overstatement, but thank you. Okay.
What keeps you remain so growth focused?
Yeah, so I think not many people know, but I have a personal growth tracker. Just like people have to-do list at work, I also have that. So there are 6 to 7 type of goals that I have. They almost in rows, which is career goals, financial goals, personal goals, spiritual goals, educational goals, relationship goals, and health goals. And then there are timelines attached to it. So lifetime goals, long-term goal, short-term goal, stepping stone, and all of that. And every year around the new year, pre-new year break, I try to go to a more silent place instead of like a party place, so that I can think through how the year has gone by and what are the things that I need to do for next year.
Nice. That's good. A really good way to at least plan your entire life.
Yeah. I don't know how much it works, because in times like these, you start questioning. But I think it just keeps you sane and keeps you going. Yeah.
Thank you. That's good. Juhi, if you could time travel at this particular minute and go back to the days where you started your corporate journey at IMRB.
Yeah.
What suggestion would you give yourself to the younger Juhi?
Yeah, wow. So I think one is importance of work-life balance, which I think I have still not figured out. Second would be, I think, let's say, whenever there is a heat of moment, instead of just reacting right then, stay silent, step back for a moment, breathe, and then respond. So a lot of the hard feelings or whatever has gone wrong would not have happened. So yeah, that is what I would say.
Nice. Thank you for sharing that. We now move into the speeded round, and I'll request you to keep the answers to this particular questions really short.
Yeah.
Any specific quote that you live by?
So unless your name is Google, stop acting like you know everything.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Which one daily habit has been a game changer for you?
10 minutes I set out before I start any meetings for my to-do list, and I ensure that by end of it, I finish it.
Define Juhi Singh in one word.
Tireless multitasker.
Okay, that was two, but we'll take it. Thanks. Tireless multitasker.
Yeah.
Juhi, it was wonderful having you on this particular show, and we learned a lot. How can the audience stay connected with you?
Thanks a lot. It was an honor to be here. I think I'm extremely active on social media. In fact, LinkedIn is the best place to connect. I have about 24,000 connections, so I don't keep a filter. So anybody and everybody reaches out, and I try to respond to them as much possible.
Nice. So LinkedIn, that's the channel to connect. Any other parting thoughts that you would like to share with our audience?
So I don't know if, everybody, whoever would be listening is much more learned enough, but my motto is that life is more like a continued learning journey. And the moment you stopped learning, you are like a dead man walking. So one should never stop learning and should be always open to the newer things in life.
Wonderful. That's nice. And that's about it, Juhi. We learned a lot from you today, not only on the FMCG sector and how to create growth for an FMCG brand. Learned a lot of internal things at Merico as well. Thank you for sharing that. And on a personal level, yeah, I'm going to read this particular book, Everybody Lies. That's the first thing which I'm going to do. And yes, I'll refine my personal growth tracker. I like the way, while I maintain it to some extent, I've been not maintaining it to the extent which you are doing. So that's something which is a takeaway for me as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kaushal. And I think you're doing this great series. I have learned a lot by listening to other speakers as well. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure having you, Juhi.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Growth Genius. I hope you learned something today that would help you to grow. If you did, please share this episode with your friends and family. If you're listening to this on the InfraDigit website, I would request you to use the podcast app on iPhone or download Google Podcast or Spotify on your Android phone. Subscribing to this podcast will ensure that you get the episodes regularly on your phone. The podcast icons near the audio streaming widget on the InfraDigit website should help you to navigate to the show on your podcast app. Also, if you haven't yet, please subscribe to the Growth Genius Show wherever you are listening to this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Now go out there and create growth for yourself and your company. Thank you.